Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We got one class that hasn't come back from Sunday school yet, so they'll probably handle in a little bit later. And then, good to see y'all. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Lord, we just thank you that we've come and have this place to worship you and to lift up your holy name. And just use me this day and use us as we worship in prayer, in preaching, in singing, in fellowship. Let us know that we're drawn to you completely. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. So let me welcome all y'all here. And let's see if we got any announcements. Any announcements? Anybody with announcements? We got a family fellowship on the 13th, is that right? All right. We'll be having Gospel Bird. Any other announcements? Is that the 13th?
That family supper is March the 13th. So two Sundays from now. And we hope you'll be with us to have that fellowship supper. We've just gotten back to where we're joining together to fellowship and eat, and I hope you can do that with us. So we just ask if you would bring a side dish to go with that fried chicken. Also, next Sunday, as a fundraiser for Operation Christmas Child, each year we try and save up some money to cover the postage to send the shoeboxes. And so we're going to have a bake sale after church next Sunday. So two things I need you to do, please. If you are disposed to baking, please bake a yummy thing to bring and let us sell. And if you're disposed to eating, then bring some money to buy some of those good baked goods. Okay, so we'll be doing that next Sunday. And if you would help us out with that, we would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Saturday is our fourth Backyard Bible Club. That'll start at 8 o'clock. We'll feed breakfast, and then we'll go through noon, and we'll feed lunch. So if you know any children between the ages of 4 and 5th grade, bring them on down and let them have fun and study the Bible and eat with us next Saturday.
If you got your Bible, either open it up or take it out and turn it on, whatever you use, if you got one on your phone. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to look and find the book of Nehemiah. For those of you who don't know, that's in the Old Testament. Just fiddle around the Old Testament, you'll find Nehemiah. And we'll be looking at chapter 5. While you're looking that up, let me just go ahead and tell you that we've gotten some of our the 2022 World Watch List here from the persecuted churches across the world. If you'd like to pick up one of these, we've got them on the back table, with some other things you might look at and use. So there's some tracks back there, some other information. If you'd like to have one of those, you're certainly welcome to take one and use it and be praying for the people that we know are facing serious persecution for being a Christian. So, Jeremy, you got the Navy look going on. You're looking good. You're getting ready. When are you deploying? When are you heading out?
March 8th.
March 8th. Man, that's right around the corner. So we're going to keep you in our prayers as you go out and serve the country. We appreciate that. In fact, the other day, my brother and I back there, Michael, we were having breakfast, and somebody paid for our breakfast and thanked us for being vets. I said, I'm not a vet. I'm in a different army, but he is. He served in the Navy as well. So, Jeremy, you might get with Michael back there. But somebody just was kind enough to pick up our breakfast and pay for it. And we weren't the only ones. This gentleman was a gracious traveler from Dallas. And he was just picked out some people in the group, and we happened to be the lucky ones, and we got our breakfast absolutely no charge. So God has blessed. Have you found Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 5. And we're going to read the section going to 1 through 13. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If your words differ a little bit, it's not a misprint, it's just a different translation. Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And there was a great outcry of the people and the wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We are sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live." There were also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses. that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's taxes on our lands and vineyards, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of the brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I became very angry, and when I heard their outcry and their words, after serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses. After a hundredth of the money and the grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them. So they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priest and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garments and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from the property who does not perform this promise. Even this may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then the people did according to his promise. Let's pray together. Sister Joy, would you pray for us? Some years ago, I was in a financial strait. Several things had taken place, and I found myself in a position where I had to go to a brother in Christ and ask him for some money. That's a humbling experience, but I figured this was the gentleman who would be able to help me, and he did. And he gave me exactly the money that I needed, and I paid him back. And he said to me, now, what percentage of interest are you going to pay back? And I said, anything you ask for. And so I did. And I paid him a reasonable, fair interest rate that I would have gotten at a bank. Might have been a little bit less, but he was helping me out. And so I gladly would pay the extra money for the help. And it didn't bother me. And about a year later, after everything was said and done, I mean, I already paid him back in about 3 months and paid the interest. And he came to me, and he reached in his pocket, and he handed me a $100 bill. I said, what's this? He says, I just got finished reading Nehemiah chapter 5, and I'm not supposed to charge my brother any interest. So here it is with some back. And I said, go home, ye sinner. No, I thanked him very much. Didn't even dawn on me. But he said, and so I remember reading this before. I went back and read it again to have an understanding of what was taking place. And I want to share with you here that we, as Christians who follow Jesus Christ, purpose to be a part of this church and the community and let others know we belong to Jesus, guess what we need to be doing? We need to be living at higher standards. Amen? When somebody looks at you, they should know that you're a Christian. They should know that there's something different about you. The Bible even gives the word peculiar, and some people don't like that. Some people don't like that because they think, oh, you're just a holy roller, or you have an attitude that you're holier than me, and you know, and they kind of hold it against you. But God gives us directions all throughout the scriptures that we need to live to a higher standard. And what was happening here was that Jewish brethren, Jewish family members, they had gone into, taken out of their land, they were taken to distant lands, they were constantly fighting, coming back, being moved around, and they always had this desire to come back to Israel, even some today, say someday we'll get back and we'll be strong. It's still an issue today. But they've been taken off and taken into bondage and captive, and they would come back, and every time they would build again. They would constantly rebuild. They would be under God's leadership. And if you study the Bible, you realize that they were kind of a cyclic situation, was when they would be all caught up in sin, and God would bring judgment, pass judgment on it, and pronounce that and do that. And they'd go off into captivity. They'd come back. They'd get their act together. They'd repent. They'd just come back really strong, and then they'd mess up again. And it was this constant cycle, sinning against God, being revived by God, being judged by God, and it constantly was going. And so Nehemiah, with his responsibilities, some came to him and said, we have been shortchanged, we're starving, we've sold everything, we've mortgaged everything, and the proper people were coming back to the land. People had become prosperous, and then some others came out of captivity and coming back, and they had nothing. And what little they did have, they began to forfeit it over to some of the others who had more money. They had more money. And so they, unfortunately, took advantage of their own folks, their own country members, their own family members. And what they were saying was, oh, we're at the point where we're having to sell our children into slavery. And when you see this particular part where it says our daughters are being sold into slavery and being taken, some commentaries make the comment that sex trades were going on back then just as they are going on today. Sex trafficking was going on back then just as it is today. It's just noted. We recognize it more today and we see it, but back then, and they say, some of our daughters are having gone over to the lifestyle of a harlot. We can't have this. We can't survive this. And Nehemiah, the righteous man, got upset. And he called the assembly together. He called the people together. And he said, we are going to make changes. We have to live by higher standards. And the interesting thing is when Nehemiah confronted these people who were charging usury, taking the people's lands, taking their fields, preventing them from providing own food for the family, and if they did, they had to pay like crazy to get anything, and then they didn't have it. Nehemiah says, we need to change this. He pointed out it was wrong for them to charge their brethren usury. And he says, you're going to give it back. You're going to give their lands back. You're going to make things right and make this nation strong again and let it come under God's righteousness. And do you know what their response was? What would your response be? What would you say? That's none of your business, Nehemiah. Leave us alone. We're fat and sassy and happy, and we like the way it's going. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says these men were silent and could not find a word to say. You know why? They were dead wrong. They were unholy, sinful, and mistreating their own folks. They could have been mistreating anybody. But yet, your family, your kindred, they were tearing them up. So he told them, stop charging interest. Restore to them anything that you've taken wrongly. And then he says, because we, Nehemiah made it clear, we are a people that represent God. And this has nothing to do with the holy God of Israel. Change your ways. And the scripture says they did that. So how does that affect us? It affects us in the way that we need to examine our own lives. We need to pay attention where and how we are living and consider if we are truly living under the eternal principles that God has given us in the Word. You know why some folks don't know what God expects? Because they never read His love letter. Amen? Isn't that right? In fact, in college, one particular occasion, there was a professor got up there and he was talking about the Bible and he was criticizing it and making fun of it and, you know, he was giving him a hard time, and a student sat up and said, "You know what the problem is, sir?" He said, "No, what?" He talked back to the smart aleck student. He said, "No," he said, "the problem is, sir, is the Bible is a love letter to God's own children." And he says, "And that's what you get for reading somebody else's mail." Yeah. Listen, we fail to read God's Word. We overlook it. How many days have you said, "Well, I need to read the Bible today," and then some distraction creeps in. Something gets in the way. "Well, I need to have some serious prayer with God," and then you get a telephone call. Well, turn that phone off. Get in a place, it could be a respite, a place where you could go and just chill with God. Pray, worship. Because He calls us to live by higher standards. So look at your life and recognize whether or not you're following God's eternal principles and purposes, or you're too concerned and you're dominated with your own personal gains and what you want, what you think you need to have. The priority that we need to have in life is simply this. We need to obey and please God. If you're doing anything else you can do is try to please others or please yourself, which most of them do. But He says, you need to obey Me and please Me. We need to please God. And you know, these principles still apply today. And what Nehemiah said and teaches is that every day we need to walk in the fear, the awesomeness, the respect of whom God is. And sometimes we don't. We treat Him so lightly. We misuse His name. We use it in vulgar ways. We're so wrapped up that we become governed by our own flesh, and we wind up being dominated by our own material gain. And we think about it as our pleasures, our personal things, our properties, all those things. Those, to begin with, all belong to God. You been mistreating somebody lately? Maybe somebody in your own family? God says, stop it. You been treating other people wrong because maybe they speak a different language? Their skin's another color? Stop it. Stop it. Right now. Change things. You might think you're a number one, but no, Jesus Christ is. God our Father. And we've got to put Him first in all things, because we have to remember, just like Nehemiah told these people, you represent God. And I'm telling you exactly the same thing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you purchase, how you treat people, you should be representing God. And are you doing that? Do you let people know that God loves them? Are you wrapped up in yourself so much that you only think about your money? You only think about your time? You only think about your particular pleasures or possessions, and that's what motivates you? Maybe you want power, and all that kind of stuff drives you. And He says, no, we can't be dominated by things to where we are at a point where we take advantage of other people. And that's what He's warning against, and that's what He's citing them for. And He says, you need to change. And literally, even in the New Testament, what did it tell us? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will work out. Everything will work out. And God's people, we cannot compromise His standards. And if you don't know what they are, it's because you've not taken the time to read the Bible. If you ever want to come sit with me in the office or out somewhere in the woods or out at the restaurant and talk about what God expects, just give me a call. We'll get together and we'll pore over the Bible. A dear friend of mine who's a pastor in another Christian religion, another denomination, recently contacted me. He said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, I realized that my people weren't really studying the Bible like they needed to, so I got them in the Bible and everything, and I got a group of people to come and meet at the house, and we're going to have a Bible study. And I said, let's just open up to John. He said, two people asked me, where's that? Where's that? Been in church all their life. Don't know where the Gospel of John is. And then said, well, I always get that confused, the first, second, third John. And John said, which one are we at? And he said, I was just speechless. Because these people have been sitting in church, never cracked open their Bible. Never busted them open. That's why we miss so much. Because we don't realize what God truly expects of us as being his representatives in this world, where people watch everything we do and everything we say. Keep that in mind. Seek God's kingdom first and represent him. Don't compromise his principles, whatever. You and I have higher standards that we're expected to live by. Not to brag on, not to show off, but to represent God in all that we do. If you were to pray, perhaps you'd ask God to turn yourself to commit yourself to him. Say, Father, I'm yours. And then you might want to say something like, Father, forgive me. I've been really selfish, stupid. I've been all by myself and nobody else. I've taken advantage of others, and I want you to forgive me, Father. Help me to see and to know your standards, how I should live and how I should represent you. Help me, Father, to live according to your standards, because nothing else matters. Because one day, you as an individual, living, eternal soul, the breath of God, one day, you will stand before God, and there's going to be an accounting of your life. And solely based upon what you did with Jesus and how you lived for him, he's either going to grant you entrance into this marvelous, eternal heaven, where he said he's prepared things we can't even begin to imagine, or you will be ushered away to a place that's called hell. And I know people, that's not a popular thing today. Say, oh, I've never heard hell from this pulpit, you will, because Christ warned us that's not a place we want to go. I need to send every one of you, I don't know how true it is, but I got a clip on YouTube somebody sent to me, and they said they had burrowed down into the earth and went as far as they could and picked up 17 seconds of the most horrible, screeching, howling noise. It will make your skin crawl. I don't know if it's made up. I don't know if it's a pretense, but if they could really hear what's going on down there. The Bible says the place of hell will be a miserable place, a place of wailing, gnashing of teeth, a place no relief, no comfort, no peace, and your soul cannot die, and it'll go one place to the other. You will stand before God one day, and there will be an accounting of whether or not you lived up to his standards and accepted his way and took Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, if there's any doubt in your mind, today would be the day. We're going to sing a simple song, People Need the Lord. And as we sing that song, this altar is open for any need that you have. If you just want to come up here and kneel down and pray, we've got a prayer bench over here. You can sit on one of these pews. If you want me to come down, I'll come and talk to you and share anything that you have, any prayer need, anything whatsoever. But we are expected as God representatives to live to a higher standard. And if you're not there, you need to be. And one of the best things you could do just would be make a commitment yourself personally. And even better, so what may strengthen it is if you make that publicly. Now, you don't have to come up here and confess your soul. you just have to come up here and commit your soul to Jesus Christ. And if you need to do that, this would be the time to do that. Let's bow together as we pray. Jenny, if you'll come and play the piano, we'll join together. And if God is leading you to make a decision today for anything, even if you just want to have prayer, do it privately. And if it's necessary, come publicly. Let people know you're standing for him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. And help us to recognize that there is a higher standard we have to follow. And there is you, the great, awesome, powerful, creative God who spoke this entire world into existence, formed us out of dirt, gave us your breath, and one day you're going to call us home and make us accountable for what we did with all that you gave us. Lord, help us to be responsible stewards and help us not to take advantage of anybody like we see in the scripture here. Maybe sometimes, Lord, we stand before you speechless because we have no defense. We have none. Hear our prayer, Father, Help us all today to recommit ourselves to keeping the standards you've given us. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand together? And in the same hymn book we sang earlier, the song is People Need the Lord. It's hymn number 445. Some of you know this by memory. And we're just going to sing it through until the Lord leads, and then we'll close this fellowship and go out and live for Him. And all God's people said, amen. We heard it in the scripture. They all said amen. Amen. So let's go out rejoicing in prayer. So glad you came. Greet each other as you go. And remember, we have higher standards that God has given to us.